Welcome to Lake B. Wherever and whenever you are joining us, we welcome you. This morning marks the first Sunday of Advent, a season in the church calendar when people of faith think about what it means to wait. Waiting. Can I tell you the truth? I am just tired of waiting. I feel like we have all been on this collective journey of waiting. Waiting for information on this new novel virus. Waiting for test results, waiting for the vaccine, waiting for justice, waiting for the elections, waiting for the election results, waiting for this and waiting for that. More than once, I found myself asking, how long, O Lord, how long? And now here we are, the first week of Advent, the season in the Christian calendar where, when we are intentionally thinking about what it means to wait as a people of faith. So I ask you this, what are you waiting for? Truth be told, sometimes it's hard to know what we are waiting for until it comes, and sometimes we even miss it. How many times in life have we longed for something only to realize that while in that longing and waiting, we've failed to recognize the very thing that we are waiting for? In Advent, if we don't pay attention, I'm afraid that what we might miss is Jesus himself, the very thing that we are waiting for. And so it becomes important that we pay attention. In fact, Advent is about waiting and paying attention to the ways that God is on the move. Our passage today from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 20 is a good one as we think about this idea of paying attention in our waiting during Advent. Let me read the passage for you. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.' And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." Now this passage is so rich with so many things that are worth lifting up. Among all the things that can be said about this passage, I'd like to offer up just a few things that I notice as we think about this idea of waiting and paying attention. The first thing that I notice, and it's kind of an abrupt thing for me, is the word repent. Sometimes I bristle at the sound of this word, and maybe it's some sort of past church trauma. Maybe it's something else. I think what's helpful in thinking about this word is Pastor Lena's sermon some time ago when she talked about the Greek word that gets translated as repent. The Greek word is metanoia. And the idea of metanoia is that people step out of their existing mindset and adopt a whole different mindset. So in this view, repentance is less about avoiding temptation and more about adopting a mindset that empowers us to new ways of relating and engaging our world. And really, isn't this the very power of the gospel? In verse 15, Jesus too calls people to repentance, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Contained in that last phrase is part of the reason that repentance, the changing of our mindset, is so important. How I read it is this, that repentance leads to the very ability to believe in the good news. Repent and believe in the good news. This is important because we cannot receive the gravity, the radical call, or the truth of the good news without a changed mindset, primed to actually believe that the good news is in fact good news for all people. I find this true in my own faith formation. A minute ago, I talked about the word repent and how it causes a reaction in me. I think it's because the church has so often been accustomed to the mindset of temptation control that the church has not had its own metanoia, change of mindset, to consider that repentance leads not just to behavioral avoidance, but embracing of God's power and of God's grace. Repent, yes, because we are adopting a new mindset that primes us, gets us ready for actually believing in the good news and the power of the gospel. In Advent, if we are trying to pay attention to the God and how God will move in us and through us, then we have to change our mindset to be ready, to have our soil ready to believe in the good news of the incarnate God in Jesus. Then we also have to pay attention to where the Spirit takes us. Location has an interesting role in our story today. I've talked about wilderness before as a place of chaos and uncertainty. It's strange then that the wilderness is where John the Baptist emerges from and where, according to verse 12, that the Spirit takes Jesus. And the irony is that it is within this very wilderness that both John and Jesus emerge with clarity of message and purpose. John's message wasn't just words, but what seems to us like his humble wardrobe and strange diet may also point us to his own metanoia experience and identification with the margins. It's been said often that his dress and diet point to his identification with the prophets, but one theologian posits that his dress and diet also identifies him with the poor and the powerless. It wasn't that he was just weird Uncle John, but that his encounter with the gospel led to his own re-examination of his social location and how he would show up at the margins. His message had alignment between his words and the way it got lived out. Now, to add to the seemingly odd things in this passage, Mark writes with some hyperbole that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John the Baptist, who is calling the people to baptism and repentance. Now, this is curious because the movement being described is that people were going from places like Jerusalem, the place of religious and political power, to the edges of wilderness, the place of chaos and margin, to encounter and to accept John's message. It was in this wilderness that people not only experienced disruption in their social environment, but disruption in their social location. By having this metanoia experience in the wilderness and being baptized in the water, which also represents chaos in other parts of the Bible, what we realize is that everything is being turned upside down so that what is currently acceptable status quo is no longer. Jesus's movement itself turns things upside down. In our story, Jesus emerges from Galilee, specifically Nazareth, where other parts of the Bible say and question whether anything good can come from that place. It is this Jesus from these parts that went to John, got baptized, and then, as our passage recounts, goes to the wilderness because the Spirit drove him there. And when he emerges from the wilderness, he too has clarity of message, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near." And with that clarity of message and purpose, he goes on to call his disciples, not in Jerusalem, the center of power and privilege, but as he walks along the Sea of Galilee among the working class. Paying attention in Advent is to pay attention to the place that the Spirit takes our community. Because while those places may represent dislocation, disruption, and disconcerted feelings, the Spirit's work in those spaces may just be where our reliance on God rather than our reliance on ourselves leads to clarity of message and purpose in the gospel. I suppose one of the reflections I have in our current situation of pandemic, social upheaval, and political division is that in this wilderness experience, the church has been forced to ask, what exactly is the church and what is the gospel in our time? If we can pay attention to not only this situation and what we might experience as disruption, we might just see that what God is inviting us to is a change in mindset that will lead to clarity of message and purpose for our faith community. Which leads me to my last thought. When the time comes, we gotta go. We are in this period of waiting during Advent. And I posed the question earlier, what are you waiting for? But there comes a time when we have had the metanoia experience, when we have a sense of where the Spirit wants to take us, that we have to change that question from a question, what are you waiting for, to an imperative. What are you waiting for? Let's go. We got to pay attention to that right moment to go. It's hard to explain why the folks that Jesus called to follow him chose to do so. We don't have a lot of explanation. We just know that they dropped everything, even their family, to follow after Jesus. However, we might venture to guess that they too had a metanoia experience in their encounter with the living gospel, Jesus Christ, such that their new mindset was capable of hearing the good news of the gospel. I believe Advent is not just passive waiting, but a journey that calls forth action. There's movement in our story today, and there's movement built into this Advent season, because Advent doesn't simply lead to Christmas as an end. Rather, Advent leads to God's first move to be God with us, Emmanuel, on Christmas, so that we can then continue with God. As I conclude, let me go back to verse 1 of this passage, where it starts in this way. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hearing that, I wonder what the ending is. If you go back to the end of Mark, you'll see it ends with the people being sent out. Paying attention during Advent also means paying attention to the invitation to go into our world, as it were. One of the great benefits of being part of the faith community that we call Lake B is that even in pandemic and physical separation, we are together, moved by the Spirit in purpose and in action. Our inability to meet physically together on Sundays gives us the ability and reminds us that the work of the gospel and our acts of worship are also out in the community beyond the property line of our church. We've walked this wilderness by risking what we have been for what we will become. And we are adopting new mindsets as we pay attention to the ways that the Spirit takes us. So friends, during this Advent season, we wait. Yes, we wait. But we also anticipate and pay attention to the ways that God is already and will continue to move us as a community of faith. So adopt a new mindset. And if you have to do it again and again and again, go ahead. There's no rule in our faith that you have only one chance, only that God has made the first move. And today God is inviting us to adopt a new mindset again. Pay attention to the places where the Spirit will take you and take us as a community. And when it's time to go, let's go. Blessings to you on this Advent.